Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast.
Hey, my name is John Drabert, and my friend here is Braden. Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Story Podcast.
Thank you, John, and welcome, everybody. I'm so glad that we get to be here today.
Well, today we are going to learn that worship is more important.
Okay, hold on a second. So, a little clarification. You're talking about worship, and we should maybe say what that is, but also you said that it's more important, but more important than what exactly?
All right, well, fair questions. Think of worship as our response to who God is and what he is doing or has done in our world. As far as what is worship more important than, I'll throw the question back to you and our listeners with a twist. Try and think of something more important than our response to who God is and what he has done.
Well, when you put it that way, it's easy to say nothing. I mean, nothing is more important than God. So let's jump into the story. You can find it in John 2, 13 to 22. Last week, we heard the story of Jesus at a wedding and he turned water into wine. After that wedding, he then went to Capernaum and then continued on to Jerusalem.
Well, it was nearly time for the Passover celebration. And the celebration was looking back on an event that led to Israel leaving Egypt and no longer being slaves to the Egyptians. You can read all about that story in the book of Exodus.
Oh, I love that story. We should retell that sometime. We could probably do a whole series on it.
I think we could. That's a great idea. So anyway, Jesus and his disciples go to the temple, and Jesus sees people selling animals, sheep, cattle, doves, and he also saw people in the temple who were exchanging foreign money or currency for the local money or currency.
Okay, so there's a bunch of people coming into this town with animals. It's kind of a strange sight. So can you kind of explain why it's happening at the temple?
So in those days, sacrificing an animal was part of the way people worshiped God.
Right.
And their sacrifice was to help people respond well to God, but not just physically, but with their hearts. Now, the people gave their sacrifices and offerings at the temple.
Okay, but then why the sale of animals and exchanging of foreign money for the local currency?
Yeah, so you know, I'm assuming it was a convenience thing for them. Mm. People came from all over the world, or the known world at that point, for the Passover celebration. Now imagine bringing a sheep or cattle, you know, and they were traveling by foot, or maybe on a donkey or a camel, with you and walking for days, sometimes weeks. It would have been really difficult. So it was much easier to buy an animal, what you needed, in Jerusalem for the sacrifice. And since people were coming from all over the world, they needed to exchange their foreign currency, their foreign money, for the local currency.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, that seems like a smart thing to do. And so you're kind of traveling, and then possibly instead of carrying this animal the whole time with you, you'd be able to buy one there. And so people were bringing those for you to purchase.
Yeah, you know, it seems super convenient for everyone. But yeah. Listen to what Jesus does when he sees all this happening in the temple. When he sees all the dealers and the money exchangers, he makes a whip. Like not just any whip, but like he finds this rope, makes this whip out of this rope, and then he chases the sheep and cattle out of the temple. And knocks over the money boxes and flips over the tables. Like, Jesus is super aggressive here and obviously pretty upset.
That's not how I usually picture Jesus. I don't picture him flipping tables and you know, building whips. Obviously he's upset for some reason or there must be something that... There's a reason that he's doing this, I have to assume.
Yeah, well... He goes over to the people selling doves. He hasn't touched them yet. Mm-hmm. And he goes over to the people selling the doves and says, or maybe he yells, I'm not sure, but he says, "Get these things out of here. stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. Mm. Jesus was angry, and for a good reason. The temple was a place to worship God. It was where God was. People came from all over to pray, to offer sacrifices, and to hear from God. Making money was not the purpose of the temple. So when the disciples saw Jesus doing this, they remembered the scripture that talks about how passion for the temple, God's house, would consume Jesus. It would just be part of who he was so deeply that he would respond in this type of way.
Hmm. I mean, yeah, I guess imagine going to church on a Sunday and having like the popcorn guy from a sports arena walking up and down the aisle trying to sell you something. It'd be very weird. It would feel very out of place for someone to be, you know, making money off of a church service.
Yeah. I mean, that would be such a bizarre scene.
Yeah.
I'm sure the pastor would not know how to respond at all.
Maybe you should try it next time.
Yeah, I don't think I will. So the Jewish leaders came to Jesus and they were asking him by what authority he was doing all of this.
Hmm.
Now, if God had given him the authority to do this, then they wanted him to prove it with a miracle.
Wow. That sounds really intense. I remember other stories where the Jewish leaders had asked Jesus to prove his authority or you know, who he said he is and all of these things. Specifically, they asked for a miracle to see it so they could, you know, he could prove right there and then who he is.
Jesus doesn't give them a miracle, though. Hmm. Instead, he gives them a prediction. And he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Hmm. The Jewish leaders were shocked. And when they heard this prediction, they questioned his ability to rebuild the temple in 3 days. They reminded him that it took 46 years to build that temple.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Jesus sounds a little bit out of it right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense. He seems to be really angry, and he's saying things that seem totally out of the norm. It does seem impossible that you could rebuild an entire stone temple in 3 days that took 46 years to build. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it really does sound far-fetched. John, who's the author of this book, shed some light on this for us. And it's important to know that he is writing this many years later. So he's looking back on this event after other events had taken place. So at the end of the story, he writes, but when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body.
Hmm.
After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this, and they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said.
Hmm. That's very interesting. Almost a little bit of, you know, foreshadowing or predicting of what was to come.
Yeah.
I've read this story before, and every time I'm surprised at how upset Jesus gets. And, you know, it's at the people, he's flipping tables, and it's this, like, must have been something very abnormal to see, especially in a temple space, for someone to be that upset, let alone Jesus in that position.
Yeah. You know, I think it's how shocking it is for us to read this and see how Jesus is responding. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great reminder that worship is more important. Worshiping God was the primary purpose of the temple. The temple was the house of God and the place people came to worship him.
Yeah. I mean, considering that it took 46 years to build this temple, probably millions of dollars in today's money, why would you do anything beyond what you specifically intended to build?
Hmm.
You know, they built a building for worship. I mean, if it's that important to you to put that many years and that much money into a place, it doesn't really make sense to use it for something else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a great point. Did you notice how Jesus referred to his body as a temple? The apostle the Apostle Paul wrote lots of the New Testament, many letters that were included in the Bible. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body."
So as a Christian, I just want to get this straight. My body is the temple for the Holy Spirit. God's given me that, and the Holy Spirit then resides in me. You know, my body as the physical temple has a purpose, just like the temple that they built. And that purpose is to house the Holy Spirit. And in that, just as the temple was for them, my purpose is also to worship God, to be a place of worship, body of worship.
Yeah. I think you summarized it better than I could. Well, another letter Paul wrote is Romans, and in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him."
So, yeah, then, I mean, we ask the question again, what is more important than worshiping God?
Well, as we already figured out, nothing. Nothing is more important than our response to God. That is what worship is. People responding to who God is and what he has done in a way that makes him smile. Simply put, worship is more important.
It's simple, but makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, Braden, it's time for our growth tip, a way for us all to grow in a relationship with Jesus. What do you have for us today?
All right. Well, I'd like to jump off this idea of being a living sacrifice that Paul talks about in Romans 12. I think it's a really interesting thought, but practically, what does it look like to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God? You know, how do we become that, or how do we do that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So let me throw it back at you. What is your suggestion?
Yeah, so my suggestion, as I've been thinking about this, is what we get to see around us. We look outside, or we look at our friends or our family, and we see things like nature growing. We see friends, you know, growing physically, but also emotionally and spiritually. Even we see listeners growing, you know, which is really neat. And so oftentimes, I think when we look around us, we can be really surprised if we take a moment to just recognize or notice what God's been doing there.
Okay. But what are we to do then? Like, every summer, children and youth come to our camp, Covenant Bay Bible Camp, and they grow in a relationship with Jesus. It's awesome. And I see that God is awakening our society to social injustice. I see churches growing despite not being able to meet at all, or maybe not normally. And I see a lot of things that God is doing. But what do I do once I see what God is growing and bringing to life around me?
Yeah, it's a great question, John. I think it's as simple as just getting involved. You know, there's this idea of being a bystander or an active player. And I think we need to be an active player in what we see around us and what God is growing. It could be, you know, volunteering or donating or praying, or, you know, even encouraging someone, saying, "Hey, I noticed that you've been doing this really well." It's easy to get involved. We just have to make that effort.
So, as a sports analogy, it would be the difference between being a fan on your couch or in the stands to being one of the players.
Absolutely. The fans, you know, can be excited when a goal is scored, but the players actually get to feel, you know, the excitement and the act of doing it.
So in one sentence then, summarize your growth tip for us today.
In one sentence, simply put, see what God is doing around you. See what takes you by surprise and join in.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us this week, everyone. I really appreciate how many of you are sharing these stories on social media and recommending this to your friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
We never expected this show to have grown as it has over the past year, and it's all because of you.
Yeah, all of you who tune in each week are truly awesome, and we're so thankful to have you as listeners. You know, we wouldn't be here if you weren't there. So keep posting and keep liking and keep sharing with friends and family. We really appreciate it.
Thanks again, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Bible Story Podcast. There is nothing more important than a growing relationship with Jesus. Share this with a friend and have a great discussion.